Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15, the Bible said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It's not any secret that this world has scoffed and scorned at whipping children using the rod, to the point of where it's almost illegal in America in some sense of the word, or at least they want to make you think it's illegal. It's not illegal, okay? It's not illegal, and it's not a crime. Now, I'm not talking about abusing children, and I'm not, and I do preach, and I probably preach in January, February, my annual message on child training. But this is a serious verse. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That means that foolishness was bound in my heart. Foolishness was bound in your heart. Foolishness is bound in all of our hearts, but the rod of correction will drive it far from us. The Bible knows what it says. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And one of the things that breaks my heart is that this nation seems to be a nation now of fools. I haven't watched many of the debates, presidential debates, but what I have watched is foolishness. Just to be honest with you. The questions, more so than the people who are being asked. The people who are asking the questions are asking foolish questions. Questions that don't amount to anything. Questions that are just gendering strife and they don't get to the heart of the issue that America really needs to deal with. The Bible speaks actually of five different types of fools, and I'm going to use tonight a study. Boy, I'll tell you what, we've got a problem here, don't we? It's kind of like, hang on just a minute, let me see if I can't. Is that a little better? All right. See if that'll fix it. But I want you to get these down. The Bible speaks of, I want to preach tonight on the study of a fool. I don't know, the word fool is a very serious word. Jesus goes so far as to say, don't be calling people a fool. Be careful about calling anybody a fool. In fact, he says that you'd be in danger of hell fire. And be careful about this word fool. And yet the Bible's full of studies on fools. My dad used to say, there's no fool like an old fool. My dad has always told me, he said, Reggie, he said, you be careful when you get older. There's two things that happen to you. You just get foolish, or you can get cynical and critical of everybody and everything. Nothing's right. You're the only smart fool in the world. You know, everybody else is foolish but you, and you've turned into a fool with this, that critical, cynical, always looking for what you can find bad in what anybody else is doing. Be careful about that. But we're going to look at several things tonight, and I want to encourage you parents that are here tonight. The Bible says that the rod of correction will drive foolishness out of the heart of a child, and that foolishness is bound in his heart. And you think about that foolishness is tied, it's bound into his heart, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. As again I said, I want to preach on a study on fools, and basically, the Bible talks about pastors and teachers. And tonight I'm pastoral teaching, so I hope you've got something to ride on. We're going to give a lot of verses. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. We're going to be in Proverbs almost the entire time. Probably won't get done. We'll just quit here after a while. But I want you to look at these things. I would encourage you kids to write down these scripture references. Have your Bibles open. I mean, get this. Get this. I want to tell you, this nation, I hate to say this. I'm an American, but this nation is full of fools. In fact, our enemies and countries across the world are beginning to look at us like a nation of fools. That's why they think they can get by with stuff. And they're not, by the way, they're not entirely wrong. And the reason we're foolish is because we've left the scriptures. It's why we've left the foundation of what made us great, made us strong, and made us a blessing to other nations. So anyway, we're going to look at the first type of fool here, and that is the simple fool. In Proverbs chapter 1, if you want to go back to Proverbs chapter 1, the first type of fool that I have written up here tonight, by the way, I'm using a home education curriculum up here tonight on this study. I'm not original about anything, but I'm using this because I want to stay on track with some things and not get off on like Reggie does. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 4, the Bible said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then look at verse number 4. It says, the gifts of subtlety to the simple. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can do a little bit of studying. There's five different words that are used for the word fool in the Greek language. And this word simple is one of them. Word simple is one of them. And so the first type of fool is a simple fool. And this is where a child starts out. A child is simple. Being simple is not evil. Being simple just means you don't know any better. You just haven't been taught. You haven't been trained. You don't know. You can be 60 years old and just be simple about some things of God. You just, nobody's told you. Nobody's trained you. You haven't heard that. I'm telling you, I'm 58 years old and I look at scripture. I'm trying to learn all the time and there's things that I'm simple about. I don't know. And there's a difference between being simple and being down here a committed fool. And so first of all, the Bible says that the Proverbs are given and the scriptures are given. The law is given to the young man, to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And here's what I want to get to tonight. Hey, young people, get a hold of this. The very purpose of this book that you have in your hand is to give you wisdom and to get you out of being a simple fool. So to start off with this, just get used to the idea that God said that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Why is it? Because we by nature are depraved. We are sinners because of who we are, not because of what we do. We are sinners, and sin includes foolishness, and sin will cause us to be fools, and it incorporates foolishness in our hearts. And so the very purpose of Scripture is to lead you out of foolishness. That's why when you discipline your children, you want to use the Bible. You just don't discipline children to be disciplined. You have to have a higher authority than even yourself. God's Word says. God's Word says. And so the first things you need to make a child understand is, this Bible will give you wisdom. This Bible will give you direction. This Bible will give you understanding. And to reject the Bible is foolish. And so God says, I want to give this simple person, this person who just doesn't know, I want to give them direction in life. The very purpose of Scripture is to lead a person out of foolish conduct. I mean, you know, we look at little children walking around here and doing these things, and we don't think anything about it because they're kids. But Paul said in the New Testament, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What are you saying? There comes a time when you need to move out of being foolish, move out of being a childish, move out of being foolish, and move into the wisdom of God. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. The next verse I want you to look at is verse number 22. It says, how long, ye simple ones. There's that word again, simple ones. We're talking about a simple fool here. Will you love simplicity? Now that they've moved from just natural simplicity, natural being simple, to where now they kind of love it. You ever see kids, you ever told the kids, why don't you grow up? Don't you think it's time you grew up? You ever heard that? You ever thought to yourself, when are you going to grow up? When are you going to quit being so silly? When are you going to quit being so foolish? When are you going to quit being so stupid? When are you going to start having some wisdom and discretion in your life? He said, how long, you simple ones, we love simplicity, and the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. This here, there comes a point. Now listen, young people tonight, there comes a point, young adults, and all of us, there comes a point in life when you have to make a conscious choice to decide that you're going to seek after wisdom. Hey, can I tell you something? You're going to get over the cartoons. This is what's killing us. Now listen to me. I like a joke as well as anybody in the world. Brother Larry Brown come down here. How many jokes did he tell? Did anybody count them? A lot of them. But if you're not careful, you got more out of the jokes than you did out of the preaching if you're not careful. And if we're not careful about preaching even, now I like jokes, but I want to tell you something. You better be careful that that's not your motivation. If you've got to be told a joke to get somebody to get your attention and to give you wisdom and give you biblical instruction, you're still a child. If somebody can't get up and just give you the Word of God and you listen to it, that's part of making you even realize tonight, how grown up am I spiritually? Does somebody have to entertain me for me to get spiritual meat? Does Reggie have to holler, hoop, jump up on top of the pews and everywhere else for me to get spiritual meat? Does he have to be entertaining for me to get something out of the message? If you do, we're still children. What God is saying, He says, listen, there comes a point when you've got to make a conscious choice to reject foolishness and simple-mindedness and start saying, you know what? I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to start learning the Word of God and I'm going to start increasing in wisdom and I'm going to know about God's Word and how it applies to my life in the various realms of life. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31 through 32, the Bible says, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. What's this? The turning away of the simple shall slay them. Did you get that? Donnie, how's mom doing? Good. Good. Now I want you to underline this. Hey, everybody, get that verse. What did it say there? The turning away of the simple shall slay them. Did you get that? You know what it's telling there? That a simple person, now he's growing up in church, he's growing up around grandpa, he's growing up around somebody who's trying to give him some wisdom, and he turns away from it. God says, that's going to slay you. You sit in church and you listen to the preacher say, you know what, you ought to keep yourself morally pure. You ought to respect your mom and dad. You ought to learn to respect authority. You ought to be such a person that nobody has to be watching you all the time. You go out that door and you turn away from that, and God says that's going to slay you. And it does, all the time. Let me tell you something. You go over here to the jailhouse ministry, you know why basically most of them in there? Because of foolishness. And they went from being a simple fool as a child to being a committed fool that had to be corrected by public punishment. And God says that if you turn away from that, that's going to slay you. Now, the word slay means the primary meaning is to kill you. But you know what? Foolishness will kill a lot of things in your life. It'll kill what you could have been. It'll kill your joy. It'll kill your potential. It'll kill all kinds of things in your life. And God wants you to not turn away. Listen, He said the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. We're going to look back at this pretty soon. We're going to look at the prosperity of fools. God said that there are fools. Listen to me. There are fools who are prosperous. And God says that very prosperity destroys them. Verse number 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Let's look at the next one here. The Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 6 and 7. Proverbs 7, 6 and 7. Man, you talk about a description of a fool, right here it is. And I'm telling you, listen, this is a very common, simple fool. This is a very common, simple fool. Verse number 7. The fact of it is, I beheld among the simple ones. That word simple again there is a word for a fool in the Bible. Okay? But it's a particular kind of fool. He just doesn't know. You know what? The average young person now growing up in America thinks, and I'm going to tell you, you know why I know that I'm not going to say I'm not a fool, but I'm going to say this, I'm not as foolish as I once was. But this is the honest truth. I grew up thinking, even though I was in church every Sunday, that the way that what life was about was chasing women and making money. And that proves to me now that I was a fool. But here's the deal. That's all I was being, that's what my world was. That's when I went to school. That's what it was about. We watched television. That's what it was about. Everything in life, it seemed like, was about that. And I thought that was the goal of life, you know, just, you know, how much pleasure, how much fun, how much, personal, selfish stuff can I get out of life? But he said here in verse number 7, he said, I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the who? The youth. Now, here's this young, this simple, that we're not talking about 4 and 5 year olds now. Is everybody paying attention? He has moved from chapter 1 to chapter 7 to a child that has grown up now and is in adolescence and he's in a young person. And he said, I beheld among the youth a young man void of understanding. He said, among the simple ones. He said, leave me some lights on here. I don't care. I need all the light I can get. I like light. Amen. Let there be light. All right. Thank you. He said, I looked at one. He said, a young man void of understanding. Now, we're not going to read the rest of that chapter, but if you read the rest of that chapter, what this young man did, he saw a good-looking woman, a good-looking girl, and this woman was a wicked, immoral woman, and she led this young man into immorality. Now, you listen to me, boys. If you let a girl lead you into immorality, you are a fool. According to Scripture, I didn't call you a fool. God said you are a fool if you let an immoral woman lead you down that path. So I'm going to tell you something tonight. Whenever you get alone with that girl and you're trying to get in some place where you think nobody in the world is watching you, and you think you're doing something in secret, first of all, you're not doing anything in secret. There's a God in heaven that sees you and knows what you're doing. Second of all, you remember your preacher said this and read it to you right out of the Bible, you're a fool. It's going to nail you. In fact, if you go down to verse number 27, you see where that foolishness will lead you. Look at verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's the finish of it. I don't have time to preach that whole passage of Scripture, but it's the truth. Verse number 26 says, she hath cast down many wounded. You're going to get wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Alright? God is trying to teach you something. Listen, God's saying, listen, and you know what? Whom God calls a fool is a fool. And if God says something foolish, it's foolish. If God said it'll destroy you, it'll destroy you. Alright? So you got this, this simple feeler there. Now, by the way, the old preachers used to say that the greatest danger to a simple fool, now listen, we're not talking about a child or a young person who is just maliciously hates God. No, we're talking about a young person who on one side of their heart really wants to serve God. But they're having to battle in their other side of their heart with foolishness. And they have not turned away from foolishness. And it's slaying them. It's killing their life. They would say that the greatest danger to a simple fool is moral impurity. Greatest danger, according to Scripture, and that's right. The next one is Proverbs chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. The Bible said, "Unto you men I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." It says, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. Look at that verse. Look at that again. I call. My voice is to, O ye simple, O men, understand wisdom. He's crying out to you. Here's what the deal is. I want to be careful about saying this. Parents, you need to be really, really alert to how your children are responding early, quick, to spiritual guidance. That's your first signal. How are they responding to spiritual admonitions? The Bible said reproof enters into the heart of a wise man more than 100 stripes into the back of a fool. God's going to talk about foolish people needing stripes. And what I would advise parents tonight is this. You watch real carefully about how your child is receiving and responding to the scriptural training that you're giving them. Because the earliest signs of, that you've got a simple fool that's headed to being a committed fool is this. Well, is this attitude at the house that, I'll memorize my verses. Yeah, I'll go to church. But their heart's not in it. And silently, they're rejecting God. You've got to watch for that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You need to move in on that real quick. I didn't say, and not with anger. You may have to be firm, but what you need to do is start speaking to the heart of that child. So listen, your heart's not in this. Your heart's not in our family devotions. We can tell when we have family prayer, you're not in it. You're not here with us. What's going on? How can we help you? What is it? What is it that you're rejecting the counsels of God about? And I don't know, somehow or another, I wish I had time just more to bear down on this, but I'm telling you, one of the reasons that later down the road we're winding up with this is because we're not dealing up here with this when we see the early signs. And what the Scripture is doing is calling it, listen, respond to the Word of God, respond to the truth of God's Word. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. The Bible said, "Who wisdom hath built her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine, she hath furnished her table, she hath set forth her maiden, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple," there it is, "let him turn in hither." Now, I want to say something to you here tonight. And I want to say tonight that all of us start out being simple fools. God is telling us, whenever you get around wisdom, whenever you get around instruction, when you get around the Word of God, turn in there, park your car, and start learning. And the difference is between even families and people in church, and I hate to tell you this, but I can see it from the pulpit, I can tell you almost 2 years ahead of time who will be out of church 5 years down the road. It's just right here. They're not listening. They're not really, when you've got people in church that are just more interested in looking around, just seeing who's all here, and it's, they can get close to somebody they just like to yap with, their heart's not in it. No, it's not real fast, but eventually that turning away from that wisdom, that turning away from, God's Word's really not important, and they don't know how to separate the person from the preaching. Now, that's real critical. You ought to write that in your Bible. You need to learn to separate the person from the preaching because, I can do something or any other preacher can do something and say something that just turns you off. And if you're not careful, in turning them off, you turn off the entire Word of God. And that's a dangerous thing to do. So, I just want to encourage you there. It says, "Let him turn in hither," and so forth. Now, what's this passage of Scripture? It gets down there and it says, verse number 4, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him," now watch this, "come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." Now here's what happens, and this is literally killing America, and I watch this all the time. A simple fool. Now listen to me. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to read this. Will be impressed by outward evidences of other people's success and will be lured by that which appeals to his physical senses. He is most vulnerable to open acceptance, so watch this, by attractive people, and must be taught to see the contrast between that which is godly and that which is ungodly. Now you say, Reggie, how's that, you see that working in America, this passage of scripture working out? You know, she says, oh, you come see what? Music stars? Who you imitate, you admire. Imitation is the greatest form of admiration. And what you see is this, is young people, as they start growing up, all of a sudden their heroes start being, I mean, all across America, I mean, it's just a common thing, and this is why I say we're a nation of fools. Here comes some dimwit girl who dresses like hell itself, and all the girls of America want to be like her. I'm telling you something makes my, I mean, I don't see much news, but I try to stay aware of stuff enough to know what might be going on in the hearts of young people this church. And the reason they're attracted to that is because they're not being taught wisdom. I'm going to tell you, they will follow that to hell. You say, well, Reggie, that's way out yonder. No, no, be right in here. You get one worldly girl, one worldly boy in this church who's cool, man, who's good looking, man, and all you want to do is try to be like them. And if you're not careful, you'll be right in this church house, in this homeschooling Christian school church. And the next thing you know, you just want to be like the world. You want to follow that garbage. God is saying, don't do that. Get wisdom. Don't follow those kind of people. They'll lead you to hell. That's what God is saying. I got to roll because, I mean, but I just, well, listen. It just saddens me to see young people just, I ain't got enough brains, guts, or backbone to stop from being led to hell. I'm a simple fool. I follow people. You're good looking. You're cool. You're who everybody likes. I'll follow you. I'm a little robot. I don't think for myself. I don't have a heart. It grieves me. Proverbs 14, verse number 15. I'll just hit it real quick. The Bible said the simple believeth every word. They don't believe everything everybody says. The simple people, they just hear it and they think it's the way it is. It's not the way it is. You know what? You know what's so sad? And this is why I said this deal about Tebow today. Somebody said, well, they lost the ball game. I'm going to tell you something about Tebow. He told me he's fighting a real spiritual warfare because you see, the world's trying to tell him. You say, well, I don't want to hear about it. I don't care. I'm telling you something. It's on right now and I'm going to help this thing out. The reporters are all the time saying that he's praying for God to fix the game. That's not true. And he tells them that. He said, I'll never pray for God. You know what he says? God's not really too interested in football, I don't think. I'm not praying for God to fix the game. I'm just thanking God for the chance to be out here doing what I like to do and thank the Lord for the successes and talent he's given me. But they're trying to say he's praying for God to fix the game. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. When people tell junk and lies, you don't believe every word you hear. In fact, if it is, my grandpa used to say there's two things hard to hear. One is the truth and the other is ham meat frying. That was back in the Depression. All right? Now listen, most stuff you're going to hear in this world is not true. Are you listening to me? Most of it is not true. And you just don't believe everything that's being said. But watch what I'm telling you about America becoming a nation of fools. We send our little kids down to the public school. They walk them in there and they start teaching that they came from a monkey and all this junk. And the simple believe every word. And they're simple children. They're just children. They're simple-minded. They're going to take what's fed into them. But what they're doing is they're raising a generation. They start out with this simple foolishness, and they're raising it to be a committed generation of fools. Proverbs number 14, verse number 8. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, let me hammer on something right quick. Now, parents, just hang on. Are you buckled up? Got your seatbelt on? Everybody ready to not get mad at the preacher? All right? I'm going to tell you something to help you. When I was a boy, there was a program called Captain Kangaroo. And I liked Captain Kangaroo. Dumb, stupid, idiotic, nothing. I can't tell you one good thing I learned from Captain Kangaroo. But you know what it did? It babysit me. After I got grown, it was Sesame Street. Which I understand is promoting queers. And you can't tell me one good thing your child's learning from Sesame Street. And if you're not careful, cartoons, you know, Saturday cartoons. You know what? It amazes me that parents are so tickled just to get the kids out of underneath my feet, you know, just go in there and watch TV. What? Are you kidding me? Why don't you get your boy outside with you and let him work with you, even if he's two or three? And why don't you get that little girl out of that TV and in the kitchen with you? Or put a vacuum cleaner in her hand. Or a sewing machine in her hand. And quit raising a bunch of fools. Who don't even know how to think. They've been raised on video games. By the way, Courageous is supposed to be out this week. Does anybody know whether it's out? That got the move? Oh, it's in January? If you got it, Nava? All right, everybody buy one. But if anybody sees one, buy it and let me know. Because we're going to show it here just as quick as we can get it on a Sunday night. We're going to show it in this church. But I tell you what, it talks about this very thing. And you see that scene where that son of his is sitting in his bedroom doing this. Won't even talk to his own dad. Got his headphones on so he can't hear anything else in the world. And that daddy realized he was raising a fool. What I want to say to you tonight, I want to encourage you folks. I'm not here to beat anybody over the head. I love you. Don't let TVs raise your kids. Don't let cartoons and all kinds of junk raise your kids. You'll raise a fool that will put thorns in your pillow that'll keep you from sleeping at night. The next one, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Now this is the hope right here. Reprove one that hath understanding and he'll understand knowledge. But watch this. You've got two kinds of people in this verse. You've got a scorner and you've got a simple person. You see that? Smite a scorner and the simple. Here's what the deal is. You got 3 kids, 2 kids, 5 kids, 7 kids, 10 kids. Don't make any difference. You let the older kids get away with something, and that simple, that little child will try to get by with more. Another thing is God is saying here, if you smite the scorner, you know what smite means? The simple will beware. I'm going to tell you how that works. I was fourth born child. Mom and daddy had 3 that were just little devils, and they had a 4th angel came. My wife was a 4th born angel. It's that 4th one, amen? No, seriously, he wasn't, no, getting back to seriousness. I watched Donnie and Ronnie get some bad whoopings for doing some stuff. Now, it didn't make me holy, but it sure made me careful. I've seen my dad take it. Now, I ain't recommending this. I've seen my dad take a dried out 1x4 on him. Dried out. Not a switch. I've seen it. I can tell you right where you was at, Donnie. No, he was doing the St. Vitus dance around and around. Now, and it was over car dragging and burning tires and tearing rear ends out of cars. So it was over. I can remember it. Well, I'm telling you what, I thought hell itself had come to our farm. I thought the end of the world had arrived. But I'll tell you one thing, it made little fourth born boys go, "Ooh, I better be careful about how I do that deal." Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. You got somebody that's older and ought to know better, you let them have it. Now, you listen to me. I was at Brother Fields up there years ago, and he was doing a lot of counseling there in Indianapolis, and he told me one morning, said, "Get up." He said, "You come down, you see what I do every day up here pert near." He went down there, it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, went into the office and sat down. Here come this couple with a daughter, 16 years old, 15 or 16 years old. And they came for counseling. You all know about me and counseling. And this daughter sat between the mother and the father, like this right here. And so, and he got a Bible out. He gives them all a Bible. He said, you came to me for counseling. We're going to counsel out the Bible. He said, if you don't want to use a Bible, said, I can't do any good here today. So they all took Bibles. He had the same kind of Bible in front of all of them, okay? So he could tell them what page to turn to when he was reading Scripture. They didn't have to know where the books were. He just page 1185. And he would have them to read it. Now listen, this girl, what the problem was, this girl was being rebellious. She wouldn't come in tonight, blah, blah, blah. She was rebellious toward her daddy, rebellious toward her mom, in all kinds of trouble, okay? And she's sitting there, and I watch this girl. She's a 16-year-old black girl. Nice family. Nice-looking little girl, just, you know. But she sat there with this scorning look on her face the whole time. And her mom and dad, you know, they're trying to explain what's going on. They're trying to get her to interact, but she will not say anything. And she's sitting there like, I'm here, but I'm not here, and nobody's going to make me change the way I live. And he goes through this for about an hour, all these different verses, reads a lot of verses like this to him. He gets done. You know what he said? He just get up the Bibles. He said, okay, y'all came to me for counsel. Now I'm going to give you my counsel. Now, you listen, it's really good. It's the best counsel I ever heard a man give you, a family in my life. He said, you take this girl, and you pack her clothes in one suitcase, and you set that suitcase in the street and put her out of your house tonight. He said, you have four other children. She's going to ruin every one of them. And at that point, and that daddy, he says, you mean... You really mean that? He said, you came to me for counsel. You don't have to do it. But if you ask my counsel, he said, you get this girl out of your house. And at that point, I saw a tear come down that began just to run down that girl's eye. She was trying to hold her face hard and solid. A tear began to come down her face. And she began to tremble. Her lips began to tremble. Now you listen to me, you say, well, oh my, that was sweet. She was starting to have a repentant heart. No, she wasn't. You know what she was getting scared of? Not having any place to sleep that night. Yeah. Not having a warm bed. And that's when he came in a little bit later and he said, and he looked at that girl and he said, young lady, he said, all you want your mom and daddy for is food, shelter, and a warm place and a cold night. He said, other than that, you have no interest in the God we're talking about. You have no interest in repenting. He said, it's going to take harsh, harsh measures from God to ever turn your heart. He said, I'm not going to turn your heart sitting here this morning. Your mom and dad's not going to turn your heart. He said, but if you get it rough enough and wind up in prison or almost get killed or get raped or whatever happens to you out there, he said, then, he said, the harshness of that work in your life may turn your heart, but until then, there's no hope for you. Now, I don't know what happened. It didn't, he'll say it later on. He was supposed to go on, but I'm saying this to you. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. Proverbs 22, verse number 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. That's Proverbs 22, verse number 3. The Bible said the simple pass on and are punished. You know what they do? They sit here and listen to preaching. They sit here and Reggie tells them, listen, don't go out and be immoral. Don't do this. Don't do that. And there's a ping room pass on and gets them. Don't ask you now, are you a fool? There's a second kind of fool, and that's the one we look at right here. It's the reactionary fool. And this is moving to the second stage. A reactionary fool is attracted by others who are openly doing what they secretly desire to do. And I've seen this all down through the years. You know, if something happens to you after so many years, you're able to look back. And you realize, you know, and look at your own heart. You're able to look at your own heart. If you're not, a reactionary fool is one who, they can put on all the act, but secretly down inside, they want to be doing. Down inside, they want to be doing what they cannot do in the way of evil. And they are attracted to other people who are doing, who basically them are their heroes because they're doing what they'd really like to do. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now watch this carefully. Despise. You know what fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. You know what despise means? You just can't, you spit on it. You turn it. In other words, you despise anybody that tries to tell you, hey, listen, you're going the wrong way. You mock it. You despise it. They'll look at godly wisdom as a barrier to their life's goal. Proverbs 7:22. If you're writing these down, want to turn to it. talking about this young man that we looked at a while ago. He goeth after her, that strange woman, straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now, that's interesting. Because in that verse it says, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now, I know we're too civilized in America. Most of you would think that stocks are cruel, but stocks are in the Bible. And what stocks are is where they put your legs and your hands and stuff inside a wooden deal, and they held you out there on the public square. And what God is saying, that this person has moved from a simple fool to a reactionary fool, and a father and mother's admonition is not going to do them any good now. They've got to go to stocks. And by the way, there are spiritual stocks. There's things that bind, that'll bind and hold you. But it says there that they go at the correction that stock. This person here is past mom and daddy. You can talk your head off till you're blue. But they've moved from being a simple fool that should have been corrected when they were very little to a reactionary fool who's looking for other people to join in that, and this foolishness is now turning to this deeper level of wicked foolishness. And God says it's time for the stocks. A prison is basically a holding place. It's a place of stockade. You've heard those kind. Proverbs 10:8, the next verse. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Now, a prating fool is one who disregards scriptural boundaries. In other words, don't tell me what I can do, where I can go, what I can't. You know, mom and dad, you need to tell me. I mean, I tell you a good question to ask. You kids need to ask yourself as to whether you're old enough to move out of the house or not. How many'd like to know? A good question is whether you know whether you're old enough to move out of the house or not. Do you mind mom and dad knowing everything you're doing? Do you mind mom and dad knowing everything you're getting ready to do? And if you mind that, because you know what, the very fact that you're wanting to move out may be saying that you're wanting to do things you don't want mom and dad to know about. And if you can ask yourself and say, you know what, it really doesn't bother me for mom and dad to know what I'm doing, then maybe you're old enough to move out. I don't know. 30, 35, somewhere in there. Okay. No, I'll tell you the truth about it is, if by 35, get them out anyway, amen. Get that couch potato out of there. No, anyway. Proverbs 10, but a prating fool is one who disregards boundaries. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I want away from that authority. Proverbs 10:14. Wise men layeth knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The mouth of the foolish. Lots of talking. They're smart. They're smarter than God. They're smarter than their parents. They're smarter than everybody. Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. This fool is the same word that's used for the reactionary fool here. He said, notice what it said. He dies for want of wisdom. Are you listening to me? He gets drunk. Gets in a car wreck. Takes drugs. Messes his whole life up. Wild. Reactionary fool. God or nobody else is telling me what to do. I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm grown up now. And nobody tells me what to do. And they die for want of wisdom. And can I say to you something? Just like this, suicide is, as far as I know, the number one cause of death in American teenagers. You know why they're doing it? Lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom. They are not seeing life from God's perspective. Proverbs 11:29. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. Better write that one down. They throw life away. They throw opportunity away. There's no self-discipline. And so they wind up as a fool serving for existence the rest of their life. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, and he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, I'm going to tell you now, tonight, why I don't do much in the way of counseling. Right there. When you get a person who's passed right here, I'll deal with you. You know what I'll do? I'll go 1,000 miles with you when you're in this stage of life. You get this stage of life in here, I ain't going to do you no good. You listen to me. I've had kids who growed up in this church call and want to have a meeting with me. And all they wanted Reggie to do was justify their sin and try to set me against their parents and explain to me and rationalize. They had no intention of turning from their sin, no intention of doing what's right. They're just going to explain to me, give me all their little religious justification and how bad their mom and daddy was and why they're going to do wrong. And I found out a long time ago, Reggie, you're wasting your time. These people, their mind is made up, and they're a reactionary fool. They're going to do what you can't tell them anything. You're wasting your time with them. It's one reason I'm not much on counseling. I'm real good on that's what the stocks. You got to let God have them. Let me tell you, there comes a point where nobody but God and the disciplinary and chastening of the Lord is going to do some good. Proverbs 16:22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instructions of fools is folly. You see that? You instruct him, but you're foolish for doing it. It's folly. It doesn't do any good. That person secretly feels like he's sharp. Man, he is really, I mean, I'm cool. I'm sharp. I know more than anybody else. And they're a proud, self-made person. You ever hear that? Nobody give me nothing, man. I work for everything I got. Nobody helped me get this. You're wasting your time with them. And even if they, and here's what a lot of them will do. This is the worst case. They'll take some godly truth, some biblical truth, and they'll mix it with their humanistic reasoning. And so it kind of comes a nice religious mix. But, you know, I mean, yeah, there's a God, and I thank the Lord. You know, and they're kind of like the guy that walked up over and looked and said, I thank God that I'm not like other men are. You know what? He didn't recognize God. He just mixed God with his humanistic foolishness. Proverbs 17:28, even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise. Proverbs 20:3, it is an honor for every man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Now we're moving now in just a little bit, moving on up here. We're moving on down, I should say, to unreasonable fools. We'll get there in just a little bit. But here's this guy, you know what they want to do? Argue with you. They're meddling. They want to debate. They like controversy. They like argument. They want to argue with mom and dad. They want to argue with you. And if you see your child get in an argument in spirit, you better deal with it. Now, kids, let me tell you, give you a little secret to life. Learn to make an appeal, but quit arguing with your mom and dad. Appeal to your mom and dad. There's nothing wrong with that. And if your mom and dad won't receive an appeal, then they got a problem. Okay? But learn how to make wise appeals. Learn how to make an appeal that's right. Explain to them further. Maybe they don't really understand what you want to do and why you're wanting to do it, or, you know, so forth. But whining, you know, how many parents have figured out that kids will try every method? You know, if this don't work, maybe this will. And some of them even figured out, they've figured out the deal. If they keep knocking enough, pretty soon, yeah, go ahead. I've got to where I can just tell by the look on Susanna's face when she's wanting to go do something. She'll come walking in and she'll say, Daddy, yeah, where you want to go? And there's nothing wrong with that if it's done right, if it's an appeal. I'll be honest with you, and I say this, because Susanna, she's fifth. I mean, that's, no, she's sixth. You're sixth, aren't you? You're sixth. Oh, that's a bad number, Susanna. That's the number of man. Amen. Anyway. But the kids learn through their older kids and stuff about making an appeal about what they want to do and explaining to you why they want to do it and what they're going to be doing and where they're going to be and who they're going to be with. And if you're a wise child, you'll get that. You know, don't just, you know, whine it around and all that kind of thing. But anyway, Proverbs 27:3, a stone is heavy and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Fool's wrath. He gets mad at God, gets mad at his authorities, gets mad at the preacher, gets mad at mom and daddy, gets mad at God. He's wrath. There's no joy in his life. Proverbs 27:22. Now this is powerful right here. Proverbs 27:22. If you want to turn there. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now listen to me. This is why I'm preaching on this night. This is serious, serious business. God said, though you bray a fool in mortar. How many knows what mortar is? You got a mortar here. And then he gives another, among wheat with a pestle. In other words, you're just working it. You're really working this thing over. He says, it don't matter. This foolishness is not going to depart from him. You're wasting your time. And again, I'm going to say to you, when you're in here, it's stock time. And it's time. I'll tell you something. I dealt with a man here about a year ago. I mean, the further it went, the more waste of the time it was, and I never will forget. It's like the Lord just spoke to me real, real quietly in the middle of it. Get away from him. Leave him alone. You're not going to fix him. Only I can fix him. You're wasting your time. And there are situations like that. You just got to tell them. You know, I know that as parents, but I'm going to tell you something. And this is why I'm doing this. Get them here. Get them here. They get here, you're in trouble. You're in trouble right here. All right? Proverbs 29:9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. Again, you're wasting your time. You say, Reggie, I can pray for him. That's right. But pray for him and turn him over to God. You ever think about this? What did God say to do with that fornicator in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Did he say have a counseling session with him? No. You know what he said? He said, when you meet together, you turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's pretty tough. That moves us to the unreasonable fool. An unreasonable fool has his, now watch this, he's moved from being a simple fool from childhood to moving into adulthood. He's reactionary. In other words, nobody's going to tell me what to do. God don't tell me what to do, the whole thing. And now he moves into this unreasonable fool, and you cannot reason with this person. He's unreasonable. And he is literally, his soul and his mind and his spirit is bent to do evil against God. I mean, it's like a tree. Now watch this, you've heard as a tree, as the tree grows, Well, here's what he does. This simple fool, little child come up, and he wasn't trained, he wasn't taught. And so he gets up here, and now he's all bent. And no matter how you try to, it ain't going to work. He's bent to do evil. He is arrogant. He refuses the wisdom of God. He's set on doing that which is right in his own eyes. And he wants to draw other people into and draw support from other young people or other people that, he infects other young people. And this is what really gets me. I used to watch this, and I look back at whenever I would go to high school ball games back years and years ago, and I would watch. I tell you what I can do. I can walk into any gymnasium in this country right now to a basketball game, and within 15 minutes, I will show you the reactionary fools that are leading these two fools on down. I can spot them. This guy or this girl is leading and infecting these right here, and they're taking them in. And it happens under the radar of most parents. This fool is described more than any person in the Bible. Proverbs 1:32 says, "The prosperity of fools shall destroy them." This fool believes that material prosperity proves that he is right and mom and dad's wrong. That he is right and that God's word is wrong. Now I'm going to tell you something. Whether you understand this or not, prosperity is no gauge of spirituality. Amen. Wealth is no gauge. And this bunch that's telling you that if you're serving God, everything's going to go great to you spiritually or financially, they're lying to you. Hath not God chose the poor of this world rich in faith? And the Bible says the prosperity of fools. Fools can be very prosperous. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, the man had his crops and he filled all his barns up. And he said, my barns and my crops and this, that. And he said, I'm going to tear them down and build more barns. And I'm going to blow. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul. What God is saying is, you can be a fool, you can have all this stuff. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Proverbs 8:5, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. It takes a deep work of the Holy Spirit to ever change that person. Proverbs 10:18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool, the same thing. He'll appear to be a friend, but he's using you, and he's using people. He'll come into church. Hey, listen! He'll walk right into church, play the part. He's using it for business. He's using it for his gain. I've seen people walk into churches, and they just survey the crowd. They get to know everybody, find out how they can use everybody in church. They're not stupid, but they're fools. Okay? Proverbs 10:23, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. Proverbs 12:23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. Proverbs 13:19-20, it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Just like we know that certain things are abominations, this fool thinks it's an abomination to quit it. Proverbs 14:8-9, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin. And boy, I tell you what, they're not doing that all over this country. Proverbs 14:16, the wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He's confident. He's absolutely confident that I've got it figured out. Proverbs 14:33, wisdom resteth in the bosom of fools. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And I'm going to tell you mama something tonight. Every mother in this church house needs to get a hold of. Now please listen to me. Mamas, your sons and daughters know you love them. You listen to me? I'm going to tell you, they may wonder about dad sometimes. But you know what? You mamas have a weakness. You love your kids so much that you let some things go. And you cover for them. And here's what this fool will do. He's out here living in sin. He's rejecting what he's been taught. And he comes home, and he knows mama loves him. And he knows mama just wants, she just would give anything she just can't stand to bear the thought that she might be separated from him emotionally and physically. And she's got a verse memorized, love covers a multitude of sin. And you mamas, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you will seal the doom of your own child. Because that child, that fool, you know what the Bible said that fool does? He despises his mother. And what that fool is doing is he is using mama to get by with all of his sin. Little sis brings home her shack-up husband. Sis walks in at Christmas party and slaps her arms around mama and hugs mama. And then she goes over to the kids and she hugs the kids. And she hugs her nieces and her nephews. And oh, it's so wonderful. And she's a shack-up little immoral outfit. Yep. And mama is so glad to see her. And so mama just smiles and everything's wonderful, you know, and everything's lovely and the kids are going, I guess it must be okay for you to shack up. Aunt Mojo's here and she's got her live-in boyfriend with him and mama just acts like she's tickled to death. Yeah. Let me tell you how to help the rest of your kids. When she walks in at the door, or he walks in at the door. Say, there'll never be a day in my life I won't love you. but you're not bringing that shack up in this house.
That's right.
And either you stop the way you're living, or you're not welcome in this house to eat with us.
Amen.
I'm not letting you ruin the rest of these kids' lives. And you better be glad somebody loves you enough to tell you the truth.
Right.
And all across this country, we've got this junk going on where... And here's the thing that really burns me off about that. You know what? God dives to the depths of the heart of that reactionary fool and says he despises his mother. He doesn't love her. She doesn't love him. You know why? Because he's using the love of his mother to justify and get by with the sin in his life. Let me tell you how mean that is. You're talking about vicious. That's sorry and low down that you would take advantage of the mother's love to bring your sin into the family. Proverbs 17, verse number 24 and 25, you might want to turn there. The Bible said, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Did you read that phrase that the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth? Let me show you where this person's going to. I've seen this repeatedly down through the years. Now watch what it says. It said the eyes of the fool. Let's get the rest of it. It said, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. And now catch the connection here. This fool, I think you've all taken about all you handle tonight, so we're going to quit right here. I've only got about 50 more fools left, okay, so we're going to quit right here. But I want to get this one. I want to get this one. Don't ever forget this one. The eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. The eyes of a fool are the ends of the earth. And the next phrase talks about that foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to the mother. Let me tell you what happens to this person here. Remember, this person was not dealt with here, got into being a reactionary fool, circled, gathered to himself like friends, like people with the same attitude, the same rebellion, and now he's unreasonable. And he knows that the family back home are Christians and love the Lord. And you know what this reactionary fool, this unreasonable fool does, and this person does? He watches the inconsistencies in the lives of the church folk.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. I get hit with this more often than you'd think. Not too long ago, I got hit. I got thrown right in my face. Well, I'm going to tell you about some folks that go to church up there. I can tell you some things about them. And they proceeded to. You know what I told them? I said, you don't know the half of it. How many in here is a sinner?
Amen.
Saved by grace? I said, I'll just tell you this much. It's First Church of the Salvage Yard. That's right.
Amen.
There's a lot of, you know, and I said, I don't justify everything myself or anybody else has done up there. I said, that's not going to keep you out of hell either.
Right.
But I want to tell you, if you're getting into this here unreasonable fool, and here's what they'll do. They've been taught to receive Jesus Christ. They've rejected the truth. And you know what the Bible says in the New Testament? And this is a correlating verse. It says, God, what happens when they reject the truth? God turns them over
to reprobate
mind. But he also said that they'll believe a lie. Now here's what will happen. You love your little child. You love that. You know what they'll do? They'll go and first thing you'll hear, they've been converted to Mormonism. First thing you know, they become a Buddhist. First thing you know, they become some Eastern mysticism. And you know what it's all about? Is that their hatred and their bitterness toward God. And they have never turned from their own foolishness. And so that's why it's a heaviness to the father. And all of a sudden the father gets this phone call or finds out inadvertently, good land living, she's converted to Mormonism? You've got to be kidding me. She's a Jehovah Witness now? I studied this thing because I went through a real battle about preaching on false religions, you know. I mean, that's been my specialty, you know what I mean? I don't like it, you know, but I've took a lot of flack over that in the years. And here's something I found out about a bunch of them. Because I studied their history. I talked to people who knew them when they were kids.
Yeah.
You know what I found out? You listen to me. Listen to this real good. These fools are wanting attention. And you know the best way they can get the attention of the whole family? Christmas time comes. Did you hear? Jenny's converted to be a Mormon. Woo! Are you kidding me? And everybody in the family, that's all Christmas was. And she did got done exactly what she was intended to do. Everybody talks about me now. I got the attention, didn't I? She's no more Mormon than anything other than my name. But what she doesn't know is she's going to get sucked down and take her whole generation to hell by being a fool. Because she's an unreasonable fool, said, I'll tell you what, I can tell you what my mom and dad did, my brother did, and I knew that preacher up there, and I went with church, I mean, they can tell you 1,000 reasons why they ought to reject Christianity, and there wasn't anything real up there, and blah, 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 blah. You know what? No, it was you that wasn't real. It was you that wouldn't humble yourself and say, you know, you are what you are by the grace of God. And this person here, you know what, they're looking to the ends of the earth, they're trying to find a new religion. They're trying to find a new faith somewhere. They're going to find to the ends of the earth, they're going to come up with something besides real Christianity, and then they're going to get everybody's attention, and then they're going to be bitterness to the mother that bare them. You mean what? You know, do you realize what it's saying there? That mama is going to be in the bitterness of her heart and say, oh God, did I bear a child that's going to burn in hell forever? Is this the one I fed and changed the diapers to, that I loved and held to my breast? That's pretty bitter. This is the one that I loved and cherished. And did I bring him into the world, God, for this? And a father walks out in the field and says, dear God, I almost wish they hadn't been born than to experience this. I'm going to go home tonight. We'll pick this up. I don't know when. Maybe next Sunday night. Maybe Sunday morning. But what I want to tell you is this. You can't change what's in the past. But you can start today. I'm going to tell you all something honestly. I've got church directory laying right beside my bed. Are you listening to me? I'll get out of here. I promise you a little bit. I've got church, but what I'm preaching, I'm serious about. I've got a church directory laying beside my bed. I pick it up and I'm backward. I start with Zen. He needs prayer more than anybody else. Amen. And so I start, and the other night I started back at the back of the church directory and began to pray for Don and his family and move right up to the W's, the Williamses, and the Waltises, and all these people. And I began to go through, and I'm telling you, I never had God do this before in my life. But I was looking in the faces of you people, and I was looking at these young families, and it's like the Holy Ghost of God said, oh, Reggie, do you realize what's setting in that church? Either the potential for good and God's glory, the potential for horrible devastation. And I just want to say, I wish I could take every one of you young couples and just say, I love you. You're having these kids and you're raising this family. And these are the most important days of your life. And God's given you these little kids. And I'm telling you, don't raise fools. That's my prayer for you. Let's don't raise a generation of fools. Now, there's no perfect parents. And let me tell you something. I don't like this business of blaming mom and daddy because of what happened to you. What I think it is that you reacted to what you were taught, either positively toward God or negatively toward God. And I don't think it's mom and daddy's fault. Amen? But I want to say to you this. That mom and daddy better be paying attention and better be doing some training and better be doing some business, because you do have a little fool that you're rocking in your arms. It's bound up in his heart. And God said it needs to be driven out. So I'm encouraging that. This serious subject, and we're not even to the committed fools. Let me tell you, you know what? How many's ever heard of the ACLU? The ACLU was started by a committed fool. Started by a committed fool. And I want to tell you, every lawyer that's in the ACLU are committed fools. Yep. I didn't say they weren't sharp. I didn't say they weren't smart. I said they're committed. They're committed fools. Mm-hmm. And it's serious, serious business. And it's destroying. This one subject is destroying this nation. You know what I'm happy about tonight? I'm seeing in this, my whole thrust as a pastor has been, oh God, change it, change it, change it. In our generation, change it. Lord, if we just have families that are going a different direction, they're raising godly children and wise children and children who know the Lord, who know the Word of God, and who aren't a bunch of fools. Let's stand together. I could go on and on. I'm sorry. Lord, thank you so much for the Bible. And God, I confess to you tonight my foolishness, Lord, and that I have been and am a fool at times in my life. And God, I am so sorry. Lord, fools throw stuff away. They throw away their opportunities. They throw away their gifts. They throw away their talents. They throw away their inheritance. And dear Lord, tonight I want to ask you that you'd help these young couples that are raising these families now in church. That God, that you just give them grace and give them wisdom and help them, Lord, to turn their hearts to the Bible. Lord, we can't raise children that are wise, that really have it in their heart, without the power of the Holy Spirit and without your word. And God, we need to be an example to them. And Lord, I'm so sorry for the foolishness in my heart. And God, I want you to drive it out. And I pray, Lord, it wouldn't take too many stripes. But Lord, give us in this nation. Lord, I'd like to see somebody get up, Lord, and speak with wisdom, not foolishness. God, we need congressmen and judges and presidents and leaders that are wise men and not fools. And we ask for that, Lord. And I'm asking you, dear Lord Jesus, that I remember, Lord, this morning reading over there, Mike, where you said, though, when you're talking about the birthplace of Christ, Lord, you said, Bethlehem of Judea, though thou be afraid, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea. And Lord, I thought when I read that verse, Norwood, though it be little among the thousands of towns in America, God, would you raise up wise people who could turn this nation back to God, who raise their homes and their families, Lord, in the ways of God, run their businesses, run their life. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that, Lord, if I've said something that would be a stumbling block to somebody here, that you would take that away from their hearts right now. God, I don't want to be a stumbling block to people. And Lord, I don't know why you use flesh and blood to preach your word, but you do. You called it the foolishness of preaching. But I pray, God, tonight that you help these folks, Lord, with my heart's desire, Lord, these little children that walk around this building, these babies that are being rocked in these arms. I don't want them, Lord, to be fools when they grow up. I want them to be wise people of God. So, Lord, please hear our prayer and our heart tonight in Jesus' name. Bless these families. Amen and amen. We'll see you Wednesday night.